Thanks to Trade Coffee for supporting the Morning Stream. With Trade Coffee, you get fresh, roasted, and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. And Trade Coffee ships free to you as often as you like, whole or ground. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, you're supposed to suck it.
It's Morbin time.
A loud and thunderous F-bomb.
KKK regional manager.
Less white than grandpa.
Get your own crabs.
Kicked in the T-balls.
Three passes through the still.
Star Wars, squash the Micronauts.
So true. Fill it with my hose.
Minimum filter, maximum output.
This drink is porn.
He was racist, which was hilarious.
Pablo McGillicuddy.
The dumbest dumb that ever dumbed with Stephen and Moore on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Now listen very carefully. I have a particular set of skills. Macrame. Mumbly peg. Scrapbooking.
Her name is The Morning Stream, and she dances on the sand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, May 16th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Good morning.
Hi, Scott Johnson. How are you?
I saw a photo of you at a game, sort of football or baseball or something.
Baseball. Yes, it was the Colorado Rockies.
And you seemed like you had a fancy like room thing. What was that
about?
We did.
We had a suite. Yeah, big thanks to Barry. Barry, who... for his daughter Ren's graduation. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Out loud on the show, Ren. Well done.
I feel like she just got there and now she's graduated.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like four years ago?
It has been 4 years, yeah. But the good news is she's staying in Colorado. She's going to stay living at least for another year in Fort Collins. She really likes it. So still be getting lots of visits from Barry and Bobby Ann. But nice. Yeah, we had a suite. Oh my God. I've never done the suite thing before at a game like that.
Yeah.
That is the way to do.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. We used to do this for hockey games because the company I worked for had suite season ticket, whatever the hell they did. Mm-hmm. So we always had this place and you didn't always get it because they were always giving it to friends or, you know, the boss was giving it to some guy he knew or whatever. But occasionally we'd get to go to a game in there. And it spoils you so bad. You're like, I never want to see live sports again unless I'm in this damn room with all this food.
Totally.
And there's like TVs in there and a bathroom. You got your own private freaking bathroom up there. It's amazing.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, they kept the food. They kept the they had a bottle of Barry arranged for a bottle of what is it called? Bombay Sapphire gin for me. So I was doing gin and tonics the whole time.
Yeah,
we had some gin left in there, so I transferred all of it into a Dasani water bottle and carried it out of the stadium.
Nice. Look, you got to get your take home.
If you're paying for a big bottle of gin, you better enjoy that entire big bottle of gin.
Sure. When was this anyway? Is this Friday, Saturday?
This was Saturday night.
Gotcha.
Rockies beat the Kansas City Royals 10-3. It was quite a game to see. Beautiful sunset over the mountains, right in the behind right field. Or I'm sorry, left field. That was great.
What's the name of that stadium again?
It is Coors Field.
Okay. And Mile High doesn't exist because they changed the name, right? The football.
Right. Mile High is now Empower Field or something. It was Invesco for a while and Sports Authority Field. And yeah, I think it's now Empower Field. And the former Pepsi Center is now Ball Arena. Ballerina. I'm going to Ballerina on this coming Saturday night for a Mammoth playoff game.
Ooh, very nice. And are they expected? What are their chances? How are they doing?
Very good, actually. They won, so it's a series of three. They're in round two of the playoffs, and they defeated the San Diego Seals after a heck of a comeback in the second half on Friday night.
Yeah,
and the announcers were saying, yeah, you know, it's a weird advantage when you win the first game of the series of three. 11 of the last 15 teams that have won the first game of the series go on to win the series. And it's like, wow, that's a interesting impressive. Stat. It's,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I guess just the momentum, but then also now it goes to it's a home game, so that helps.
Yeah. Home games help. So, always helps.
Yep. Yep.
Get that home crowd out there. Brian will be out there, rah-run, you know. There. Yeah.
I'll be rah-run sitting there with a crazy neighbor.
Yeah.
Pool setup. We did Friday night. The other thing we did this weekend is set up Dave's giant pool in his backyard. He went from a 16-foot circular above ground pool to a 12 by 24 foot rectangular above ground pool.
It's a lot.
This
bigger.
Thing is massive.
It's huge. Yeah. Man, that's a big pool for I assume he's going to have a bunch of people over and parties and things. That's
he
plan.
Will. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what Dave does.
And you know, now his wife can do like paddle boarding back and forth in there instead of just basically standing on the paddle board in a 16-foot pool
yeah.
spinning around
yeah.
just for balance.
Sure. Did so they fill it? Is it full? Is it like full of water full. Now?
Oh yeah, it's already full. We helped him with a few hours of our hose yesterday.
Wow, borrow the neighbor. Okay, that's true. You'd have to fill it with a hose. That water doesn't just come from anywhere. It'd have to be hoses.
No, it has to be hose water. Yeah. And so we said, well, we're going to be in there quite a bit ourselves, so let's string it over there.
Does that count for like in-ground like cement pools? They just fill it the first time with a hose? Is that how that... Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why. In my head, I'm thinking there's some magical way of getting water in there. Like,
no, you know what? Because my grandparents had a pool that was a below ground pool or in the ground pool, and it was hooked up to the plumbing, so you didn't use the hose to fill it. It actually came through the plumbing of the pool and the filter and all that stuff.
I get
stuff
it. But like, I guess the same source of water, though, like at the end of the day, right?
Yes. Yeah, the same source. It's all
I don't know why. From. I don't know why in my head I'm thinking there must be a special...
It's like a distilled water delivery, like a truck backs up with a...
Yeah, or something. Or like some special thing you tap into in the city or something, but I guess that's dumb. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's nice. Well done, Dave, with your big pool. Good job.
Yeah, except in the whole process of setting up the pool, he had to hop in there to like be able to shift the inside of the pool around as we were filling it with water. So, and it's so high, it's 54 inches high. You can't just hop over the side. So we had to set up a ladder. We took the ladder from his old pool and kind of set it up, but it wasn't tall enough. It was made for a shorter pool. His previous pool is a little shorter. So we get that thing stretched out and then I'm helping him lift it over. And part of the ladder collapses in on itself right on my thumb. And you really can't see.
Oh, it's nice and it's dark. Yeah. Yeah, look at that. Toe and thumbs. Right, old Brian Toe Thumbs.
Oh, my God.
With his broken toe and his smashed thumb. Damn.
I know, exactly. It's all on the right side. Broken toe and smashed thumb are all on the right side.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. And this thing still hurts if I put any pressure on it. Saturday, I couldn't use it at all. Like, I try to pick something up, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm picking up a cup of coffee with my four fingers to drink it.
I like that look. Yeah. That's cool. So wait a minute. What words did you make when you got...
Oh, it was a loud and thunderous F-bomb.
Oh, man.
We reached
it's like Richter scale levels of F-bomb.
Minimum filter, maximum output. It was basically...
Yeah, Brian set his amplifier to 11. Let it rip.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. So nothing you can do there. You just got to let that heal.
Just let it heal. Yeah. It's working now. Like I can pick things up and it doesn't hurt as much. So.
All right. Well, if I believe the cartoons I saw as a kid, you're supposed to suck it. That's how you're supposed to.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that. Like as it was going on, like God, would that make it feel any better? Maybe if my mouth was full of ice, but that's about it.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking that stuff may have been, those cartoons may have been horseshit, it turns out.
I think they were total horseshit, and I keep, every time I go to the liquor store, I look for a bottle that's just got three X's on the label, and I can't find it, so whatever.
All right, now that I have a story about. My wife is in Mississippi right now. She's having a blast. They had a huge crawfish boil the other day, and they had gumbo.
I saw photos. Jambalaya. Oh my God, the food looks incredible.
This is insane. Yeah. This is insane. And she's, you know, of course, loving it. It's great. Her accent's coming back because every time she goes to Mississippi, I can hear it come back. So it's great. Just having a great time. However, Or what was my point? I had a point.
Bottle of liquor.
Right.
Her grandpa. I bet it is. I bet we're going to talk moonshine.
Yeah. Her grandpa, who was also a KKK regional manager or something. I don't know what the term was. It wasn't like Grand Dragon, but it was like kind of junior position.
Oh, it's great if they once you get past that first upper level Grand Dragon, if all of the roles are basically I work in Ku Klux Klan human resources.
Yeah, it was like that. It was like some kind of smaller, area management kind of thing. It's weird. Anyway, total racist old bastard. But the point is, he made his own moonshine and always pretended like his wife had no idea. She knew the whole time. Kim's grandma always knew, but he just pretended he didn't. And the last time I ever saw that guy before he died, we were down there for a visit and caught him outside in the truck smoking a cigar, which he also thought she didn't have any idea he did.
Sure.
But she knew. We asked her later. She goes, "Oh, yeah, I know he smokes that cigar." Anyway, we're out there and he gets out of that truck because he's all embarrassed. And we're like, "Your secret's safe with us, Grandpa. Don't worry about it." Starts to leave the truck, and I spy in the back a jug full of moonshine that he made himself with an X on it.
With an X, just one X.
One X, not triple X.
I was going to ask you if he put XXX on there or if he actually put KKK on there.
No, that would be funny, right? Or maybe his X's are just bad K's. I don't know. It's hard to say. Or it's back-to-back K's four times. Is that how that would work? No, six times. Because you'd have three X's would be...
Right. It would be right. Wait, it would be six X's back-to-back.
There's no middle line, though, right? So it's not really a K. But anyway.
No. Yeah,
exactly. He had actually written an X on there, and I just thought, did he do that because of the stereotype? Did he do it because literally that's what you do? Like, I had all kinds of questions about that.
Hold on a second, because Captain Kipper might have the answer to that. He says X equals one pass through the still. So if it passes through the still three times, it's XXX.
I didn't know this.
If that is true, that's great. That's brilliant. Because then you'd say, "All right, I've passed it through the still once," and you make a little mark on the bottle to signify that it's once, and then you pour it back in and pass it through
again. I assumed it was always, "This stuff is going to kill you." That's what I thought it meant.
Right, exactly. It's porn.
Yeah, it's porn.
the drink in here is hardcore porn.
Yeah, this is enough alcohol to murder a man, so we're going to put three X's on here, and it's going to seem super, skeevy and dark and whatever. I didn't know it had a practical purpose to it.
The amount of times, according to uncommongoods.com, that is exactly right. Yeah, the number of times moonshiners start by distilling a mash of fermented sugarcane pulp, resulting liquid known as the singlings, is foul tasting and only 30-40% alcohol by volume. So,
is that all?
It goes through two more distillations, rendering it almost 100% pure alcohol. The three X's on the jug were meant to signify that its contents had completed that triple step process.
Amazing.
Yeah, that is great. That is some great trivia. Look at that.
Yeah, it's almost self-regulation. Who needs the FDA to worry about your freaking booze if you can come up with your own system? That's amazing.
I love it. I love it.
All right. I had no idea. That's amazing.
Me neither.
I never asked him because I was just like, "Oh boy, here he is with all his booze." And he.
So he's just too lazy to distill it two more times. It's basically that foul tasting sugar mash 30%.
And with him, you were more worried, make sure Grandpa doesn't see anyone who is even remotely less white than he is, trouble. I mean, I never saw him in that regard, but he was pretty old when I knew him. But apparently he was quite the old white robe wearer for a long time, which is hilarious because his generation, pure bred racist, just racist to the bone.
Yeah.
My wife's, and I'm talking about the Bayou area of the South here. We're talking down deep South. My wife's mom and father, not racist, but a few old little things in them, just old stereotypes, old bad assumptions. So they got that going. And then Kim, her generation, none of it. Zero.
Right. Yeah.
So progress is what I'm saying. There is some progress in the world.
You are seeing some progress. It may not be widespread around the country, but in that family, at least, it's very noticeable.
Oh yeah,
the racism.
But the hilarious bit, Brian, the hilarious bit, which will never leave me, and I will love this till I die.
Sure.
Is that Kim's side of the family, specifically her dad, and therefore her dad's dad. Their line includes some significant percentage of Choctaw Indian. It contains a significant percentage of African American. He just didn't know it. So he's a little bit like that character from that Dave Chappelle show where he was blind and black, but he thought he was white and racist. He's a little like that.
Right. Wasn't there, there was a movie too where someone who's this staunch racist all of a sudden finds out that, that, you know, a not too distant ancestor was African American. Shoot. What was that?
I don't remember.
I want to say it was that guy from Gremlins who came to visit Billy in New York for Gremlins 2. What the heck was that?
I don't know. I don't remember that being a story point in Gremlins 2, but maybe.
Oh yeah, the guy came. There was the hardware shop owner or something came to visit Billy in Gremlins 2 and was instrumental. Like basically, he took out the Bat Gremlin, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I remember that guy. But what was
froze it and turned it into a gargoyle?
I remember that dude. I just don't remember the part about him finding out that he's got.
Well, it wasn't in Gremlins. I'm thinking that he played a character in another movie where he found out he's like a super racist dude, and then he finds out that he's got.
I don't know if this. Here's the worst part. I don't know that Kim's grandpa ever knew about his blood ties or his heritage. I don't think he knew. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know whether I think that's. Well, I know what I think about it. I think it's both hilarious and horribly sad at the same time. It's a horribly sad thing and kind of funny. Because he was so racist his whole life, and all the whole time he's carrying around the blood of a melting pot of people. Oh man, you know, like they should have been.
Dick Miller was the guy, not Hoyt Axton. Hoyt Axton was Billy's dad in Gremlins.
But I love Dick Miller.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, unless you're talking about the profession of being a Dick Miller, that's not fun.
But Dick Miller, that is a bad profession to have.
Nobody wants to be a Dick Miller. All right, I got a So meanwhile, while you're going to fancy play boxes and
play boxes,
getting, what are they called?
Sweets.
What are they? It's a box, right? They call it a box.
They call it a box. Sure. Don't they call it a box? Is a different thing. A box is like like at the Hollywood Bowl, you get a box and it's got four seats and then kind of a wall around it, separating you from other people who have boxes with four seats, box seats.
Yeah, you're right. There's something else I'm thinking of though that has, like you guys
penalty
have
box. A penalty box is kind of like a suite.
No, I can't think of it. It doesn't matter. Anyway, while you were doing that, I was rolling cheese and sriracha tortilla sticks.
All right, so cheese and sriracha tortillas. So basically, you were making flautas
kind of.
Sriracha.
Yeah. Does the microwave, what does the microwave do to this scenario?
Yeah. It's definitely not used in the typical flauta procedure. It's deep fried for, and I usually corn tortillas, I think, for flautas, but.
Oh, yeah. These are definitely the flour, the flour type. And they're not, you know, we're not, let's put it this way. Kim's out of town.
Yeah.
Carter makes some pretty good brunches/lunches for us. So that's been fine. But at night, things get dicey.
Right.
Until she gets home.
Well, I know you're in the middle of playing a game. It's like, oh, I'm hungry. And I'm like, I'm hungry now. I'm not hungry 30 minutes from now that it would take to order some DoorDash or actually make a decent meal. What could I make in 30 seconds that would satisfy me?
Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Sriracha.
Yeah. And it really bums me out because like Nick came over yesterday. Oh, it's Nick's birthday today. Happy birthday, Nick.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Nick.
Probably not listening. Anyway, he's 22, which is insane. And that's of today. Well, yesterday we celebrated a little bit just because Kim's out of town. We couldn't do much, but we had me and Carter, and then the two of them came over and we had breakfast or made him brunch for his birthday. Mm-hmm. And it should have been Taylor, Dylan, and Van, but Taylor and Dylan have COVID-19.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. Here's the worst part. Those home tests, I think, might be terrible because they had symptoms and were really, especially Dylan, super sick for 4 days. But it kept just coming back negative. And they're like, well, I guess I just have a really bad cold or whatever. And his dad got it from maybe when they went golfing last week or something. So all this stuff. And anyway, they test for 4 days. Finally, fourth day, fifth day, they test one more time because he can't taste or smell anything. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's weird, right? And Taylor's like, yeah, we better test again. Now it's positive. After 4 days of symptoms, and here the lucky thing is we didn't see them for those 4 days.
Good. Good deal.
So we're good. We're still testing because we don't want to spread this around anymore. But yeah, Kim out of town. One of my kids and her husband are sick as dogs. Van's fine. Doesn't seem to have it.
And they had a scare with it a while back. It turned out to be negative, right?
But yeah, that turned out to be just a cold. Yeah. So you just never know with this stuff. And the thing with Taylor, the worry there is they're both, vaxxed and boosted and all that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's less than. But Dylan's he got floored, wrecked. Oh. 3 days in bed, couldn't barely move. Oof. Taylor, on the other hand, pretty mild, which is good because she's freaking pregnant and we don't need any weird things while you're pregnant. So, anyway, good times all around here at the Johnson clan. Meanwhile, Kim's eating crawfish and crab and
gumbo, and
they're taking a pontoon boat on the bayou there, and they're gonna go catch their own freaking crab and I don't know what else, other stuff.
I bet they're gonna poke gators with a stick,
probably,
because I see that all the time on those hydrofoil pontoon boat things.
Yeah, you're in the south. Poke the gators. So yeah, she'll be doing that, and I'll be home, doing whatever I'm doing, which is catching up on Halo, the TV series, and eating Doritos.
That's good. The Halo is totally going to prepare you for Doctor Strange.
Oh, so for sure. Good. For sure. It's very good, by the way, that Halo show.
That's what I hear. I hear it's really good.
Yeah, it's great sci-fi. I think it stands on its own. There are a lot of people who don't like it.
Does it stand on its own? So somebody who has only ever played one Halo game ever in their life, they'll enjoy it?
You're the perfect audience for this because the game does not need, and some people are mad about this, some purists with the games don't like that it's kind of its own thing and it tells its own story. I personally love that. I've played all the Halo games and I don't need to see that story again, which, by the way, not to be too controversial, is paper thin as it is. And the Halo story is paper thin. Master Chief in the games is like the most two-dimensional. I love him, don't get me wrong, but he's two-dimensional as hell. So this show is not that. It is way better than that. And the guy that plays Master Chief, Pablo, he's Porn Stash from
Neruda?
Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy,
I was sure I was going to be like, oh, this isn't going to work. As soon as he takes that helmet off, I'm going to be like, ah, it's Porn Stash from that thing, or that guy from The Wire. I'm not going to be able to look at him normally, but he's great in it. Escobar, that's his name. Not Pablo Escobar. What is it? Pablo Vagino, whatever it is. His name, I can't think of, but he's great in it. Halo's great. You guys should watch Halo. It's great. It's good science fiction. Like, if you're looking for a pure, this is ripped right from the games, visually, you'll get that. Story-wise, you won't. There'll be some changes, and you may not love that if you're like some kind of weirdo that's so hardcore about the Halo games. But if you're like Brian or anyone else who just likes some good sci-fi, this is up your alley.
Cool. All right.
I like it.
I'm in.
All right. We got an email I got to read from Benjamin real quick here. Okay. I think he's in the chat today.
Is he?
Yep, he is. He's the one I read. He's the one that tricked me into saying Escobar. Bastard.
Pablo Escobar.
It says, Benjamin sent this. He has a great take on that that RT problem. What did I mean? Oh, Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
The Rotten Tomatoes problem, yes.
For a minute, I was like, Schreiber,
the
that's it.
Problem. The
Pablo Schreiber, that's his name. He's cousins or something with, or no, stepbrothers with the other Schreiber guy.
Liev Schreiber.
Liev, yeah. Those two are like related in some cross way.
The Sabretooth.
They share a mother or a father. I don't know which. Yeah, Sabretooth. That movie had Beanfork in it. He played the Blob. Anyway.
Yes, it did.
Benjamin says this.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes. Because I was complaining about, I don't know why Randy has this in his head that I like the user reviews or only go by them. Such horseshit. They're the worst. I don't go by them at all. I think he's just trolling me. But anyway, he says, reading the audience reviews for Morbius validates Scott's point about how irrelevant they have become. Almost all the audience reviews for Morbius are memes. Here's his examples. Quote, my favorite part of the movie is when Morbius turned into a vampire and morbed his orb all over the evil guys, unquote.
Morbed his orb. Morbed his orb. Like Pauly Shore making up stuff, right?
Like, kind of does. The wheeze doing some jokes.
Wheeze and the juice.
Literally, here's another one. Literally the best movie I've ever seen. I've seen it 16 times. It is too good. I want to marry Jared Leto. It is very sexy and very, very good actor. My favorite part of Morbius is when Michael Morbius morbed all over these guys while saying his famous catchphrase, "It's Morbin time." Absolute must see. I want Michael Morbius to morb all over me. 20 out of 10 movie. If you haven't seen Morbius, I will rip your intestines out and shove them up your ass.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, the user reviews are becoming like, I've kind of not trusted them ever since the backlash over Brie Larson for Captain Marvel, the things that she said, because there were reviews up before the movie had even come out because people are so pissed that she's like, oh, about time Marvel had a female superhero. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's all it takes to get all those incels all riled up and pissed.
Exactly. They were just, you know, like ready. They were just basically, hey, keyboards, if you're ready to.
My keyboard has been oiled, dusted, and ready to go.
It is ready to launch my fury at the nearest target.
Yeah, I just don't trust him. So let me just make this clear for the record. Scott never said and will never say that you only go by audience reviews, ever. They're the worst. Okay. They get gamed. I'm not saying all of them are bad. I'm saying they get gamed too easy. Yeah. Review bombs are a thing. Steam is subjected to the same issue. They've had to come up with ways to say there has been unusual activity on this reviews for this game. They do that on Steam for this very reason, so that you can see when somebody's trying to be an ass. So I don't trust those. And I'm not even saying the critics are great. I'm just saying that other score is the one I trust more than the audience score. The audience score can take a giant flying dump and set itself on fire.
I trust the critics. That's who I trust. And even then, I weigh it in, you know, weigh it with like, all right, well, let's see what are the things they liked or didn't like to see if their stuff jibed with me.
Yeah. And plus, for the record, I think Randy's probably teasing. I think he's trolling. I think he's goofing with me.
A little trolling, basically.
Yeah, because I never said any of that stuff. All right. There's that. Hey, why don't we get Dunaway involved?
Speaking of fun people on Film Sack.
Yeah, he's cool. We think he's all right. He's an all right fella. And boy, he's pretty much been at the ready all morning. He logged in before
I did. He's ready. He wants to play. Play the game, he says.
Well before me. All right, here we go. Let's play it. Yeah, that's right. Changing up the music this week. Hey, look who it is, everybody. It's Brian Dunaway joining us. What's going on?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. The sun is shining, and I'm in the air conditioning, and it's Monday. You know how I feel about that. So let's do some gaming.
Yeah, let's game. Let's game the system, everybody. Brian Ibbett will explain these rules and which one of you out there listening at home is going to win today, this sort of stuff. Brian, take it away.
Will do. Welcome to the Morning Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you guys, you two, Scott and Brian, the answers. I'm going to be giving you guys a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three that are incorrect. Depending on how confident you feel with your category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. If you guess one, get it right, you get a point. If you guess two and get them right, you get 3 points. And if you guess all three correctly, you get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Not for you, but for them. And contestants are pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're playing for Sari Jokinen from Finland.
Yeah.
Sari. Brian, you're going to be playing for Merrick Prime from Orlando, Florida.
Very Prime.
Very nice. Very nice. I like playing for Finland. Finland's they're nervous right now because Russia's threatened to turn off all the power.
Right.
If they join NATO or something. Which is
turn off the power.
There's something like that, right? They got some kind of pipeline they'll shut off.
They do, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. It's not like they just go out in the backyard and turn off some switch.
It's just like unplug like a big orange out of the wall.
I hope they don't do that. Oh, they did do it. Did they do it?
Captain Kipper is saying Russia did. They already did do it?
Yeah.
Oh, the gas. And they did it? Rigo says bullshit. Okay, well, I don't know who to believe. You guys are like reviews from users on Rotten Tomatoes today. I can't tell who's doing what. All right. Anyway.
Pablo who? Pablo Neruda, what? All right, let's go ahead and get to your first category. And your first category is names of popes. Oh, we know this, right? You know, Pope John.
Pope names.
Pope names.
Paul and all those, right? I want you to tell me which of these six pope names are real popes. Your choices are.
I like hearing you say popes. Can you say pope one more time?
Popes.
Pope.
Popes. Pope.
Pope. Pope. That's right.
Pope. I got a pope filter on my microphone. That
Pope fiction is what you got.
All right. So we got Eugene, Sylvester, Roger, Clarence, Victor, and Herbert. Which of these are real pope names? And which of these are fake pope names?
There can't be a Pope Herbert. Which means there probably is. It probably is. All right, there's three of these, though. We're going to just...
I'm a fake pope.
I'm a fake pope. All right, I'm doing two, because last time I was way over.
Okay, you guys both did two. You guys both picked Sylvester, and yes, there is a Pope Sylvester.
Oh, I like how he
or was. Brian, you went with Pope Victor, and Scott, you went with Pope Clarence. One of you got points. That person is... Brian Dunaway. Victor is a pope. Clarence is not. And no, Herbert is not a pope. Neither is Roger. Pope Roger.
Pope Herbert.
But, Eugene, Sylvester, and Victor are all popes.
I didn't believe Eugene. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. Is, yeah. Pope Eugene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gene.
Gene. Do you think he called him Gene for short at the Vatican? Yeah. They were like
pope
Gene.
Pope.
Yeah.
Pope Gene. Hey, Pope Gene.
Yeah. I love that idea. By the way, Chad, there's
he's wearing some pope jeans.
Yeah. We got pope jeans. He's got some really good pumpkins.
Let's get to number two. How about some history? You guys ready for some history?
Yeah,
let's do it. History is my favorite.
Which of these six items were invented before 1900? I gave you the wrong one. Give me the largest moons of each planet. I forgot
what I wanted.
Yes, these all were invented before 1900. I forgot that I switched around because I want to end with that one. All right.
Right.
The largest moons of each planet. So, is it for Jupiter? Is it Ganymede? Is it Titania for Uranus? Is it Nereid for Neptune? Is it Rhea for Saturn, Io for Jupiter, or Phobos for Mars? Which of these are the largest moons of their planet?
They're all larger than me.
And for the record, these are all actual moons, so you're not fooling us there.
These are all actual moons, yes.
Okay, I think I know two of these.
I don't know. I usually don't look at size as much as, you know, motion. No. Yeah.
Wait, huh? What?
And habitability.
Yeah.
Well, none of these are habitable as far as not currently. These are every one of these moons would kill you if you lived on one.
All right. I want to talk about your guess here first, Brian.
Me?
So, yeah, you. All right. So it's the largest moon of each planet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, did I? Oh, I thought you said the large of each planet.
You thought it was largest.
Check that. I didn't realize. Okay, I thought it was like largest moons, just period, like in like an order. You're right. You confused me because you started with, "Hey, it happened before 1800." And then you're like, "Here's some moons. Here's some moons. Good luck."
That was me. So it's my fault you chose both of the moons for Jupiter, knowing one of them could be right.
I just thought the largest moons in the galaxy was what I was reading in my head.
Wow.
Because we were all talking. So, And I figured the Jupiter would have the largest moons, and that made sense in my head. So,
1800s and then moons.
Largest moons. People tell me my moons are the largest. All right, let's get to the answers here. You guys both were right with Titania for Uranus. However, Ganymede is the largest moon of Jupiter, not Io, and you guys both also picked Io.
Damn it. So wait, nobody got anything there then? No,
nobody
Brian
got
did.
Any points. No ha! Points.
Even though I was a moron, you still didn't get any points.
Fantastic.
Right.
It's working out.
Now who's the biggest moon in the galaxy of each planet?
Yeah. Oh, Phobos is a... okay.
Phobos is larger than Deimos.
That makes sense.
Phobos.
Yeah.
I always think of them as, I mean, they're the twins, right? Deimos and Phobos. There were Micronauts that were built named after those, and they were the twins. And I'm like, I can never remember which one was the bigger of the two Martian moons.
Were they cool? Did you like those Micronauts, those particular Micronauts?
They were cool. I never got them. Those ones I always wanted, and I never got them.
Yeah, Doom took place. Chat's asking where Doom took place. Doom took place on Phobos. So that
which ones didn't you get?
I didn't get Deimos and Phobos, the Micronauts.
Did you get Micronauts when you were a kid, Dunaway? Were you into that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they were cool, right? I love mine.
I love how you're asking. Like, they were cool, right? I mean,
I mean, I remember thinking they were so stinking cool, but then it felt like they just got dropped. Like everything
else. Well, that's because they were nothing. I mean, yeah.
Well, they had the tubes and the, you know, the vacuum tube travel stuff. I had all that. Cool. I had all that stuff. I feel like Star Wars squashed the Micronauts. That's what I
feel
like.
Really. Yeah, they did really. They did really.
Yeah. Kind of makes me mad. Anyway.
It's a, you know, that's all right. That's all right. I have my little weird little niche toy that I like. All right. I've already teased it. Let's get to the last question, which are things invented before 1900. 1900? 1900? Which of these six items were invented before 1900? Are they the vacuum cleaner, the crossword puzzle, the tea bag, the stapler, the carbonated water, and the slinky?
No.
The tea bag makes me laugh.
I wish these were all alternate names for what you would do to your opponent that you just killed.
Yeah,
in
I love it. I love to think of people during the 1800s doing some teabagging.
Yeah, I'm going to give them the slinky. Yeah. All right.
That's right. After a gunfight in the dusty middle of town, the winner would go over and teabag the loser.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is hard.
It is kind of hard.
The vacuum cleaner before
Scott,
1900.
You need all three correct to win, or two correct to tie.
Okay, I'm going all out here.
Okay. All right, Scott's locked in with three. Brian is locked in with two. You guys both said carbonated water and tea bag.
Yeah.
And then Scott added vacuum cleaner. Was invented before 1900.
Bad news for carbonated water and tea bags.
Was invented in 1767.
Okay. I knew, like, during the turn of the century, you know, like early 1900s, we were doing, you know, fountain drinks and stuff. So I figured it had to be around.
Had to be prior to that. Yep. Yeah.
The tea bag was invented in 1903.
Oh, boo. Stapler. That is some horse shit.
Stapler, 1877 for the stapler. Yeah.
I kind of thought that because, yeah, we was doing a lot of printing and stuff back. Like, I would have used glue. I don't know. It makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Suppose.
Let me tell you what would happen to me if the cast of 1883, the current show that's running on Paramount, that they would, if suddenly Sam, what's his name? Sam Shepard, or no, Sam, what's his name? The Dude Abides. What's his freaking name?
Oh, is that Jeff Bridges?
No, the other one. The old guy that says The Dude Abides. Sam Elliott. Jeez Louises.
Oh, Sam Elliott.
So Sam Elliott suddenly turned to one of his riding buddies and goes, "You got that stapler in your horse bag right there?" I would go, "What? Stapler? That didn't happen."
And he clicks it like a lobster?
Yeah, and it was already 20 years old. It had been 20 years old at that point. That's the insane idea. I can't believe that. All right.
Crazy. I'm looking to see if there's like a photo online of what the 1877 stapler looked like.
Has anyone ever asked you to borrow your stapler and you hand it to them and not do the little click click thing first? Like, chick, 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 chick.
Oh, yeah. Where they make sure that it works kind of?
No. I don't make sure that it works. I don't like actually staple a staple, but I just do the almost like the fake staple where you just kind of click it. Chick, chick,
oh, gotcha.
Where it doesn't actually depress all the way. Yeah.
Oh, these old ones.
I do the same thing when I borrow somebody's handgun.
These old ones are gnarly.
Yeah,
they don't look like what you think. They don't look like staplers. They look like a different tool or something.
They look like exactly that screw thing at the top. Looks like it's, you know, gonna remove a fingernail or something.
Dang. Was everything loose leaf tea before the 1900s? Then
must be.
Or did we use like the little tea ball things?
I'll bet Gwen can tell us. Yeah, probably. I bet it was like tea balls and the things that. The bell kind of thing you can put.
So were they t-balling people in the 1800s?
Yeah, when they'd shoot each other in their real life guns, they would then t-ball them. So that was good.
T-balling you. Yeah.
Lipton, I'm going to gun you down, and then I'm going to t-ball you. Hold on a second. That gives me an idea.
And then it was trolling in video games was invented. 1850. All right. Well done, Dunaway. I feel like you earned it today, even though you got a weird planet thing mixed up.
Even though I got two moons.
Yeah.
Two moon junction. Yeah. Congratulations going out to Merrick Prime. You're getting a copy of Newt 1 and All You Can Eat, two games on Steam. But
first, a game that Scott's going to say is better than both of them.
I don't know. I might. Exactly. I might. Let's see what Brian...
A New Beginning Final Cut. I don't know if it's the start or the finish of that game.
I don't know what that is. I'm sure it's good. I don't know a thing about it, so I can't say whether this is the better game. Let's see. It's reviewed quite well, The New Beginning. Good. So you probably did okay. I think you're going to be fine. Was it like some sort of, click point and click adventure? I love those. Those are fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Made by a company called Daedalic Entertainment. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Daedalic. All right. Well done, everybody involved. And Dunaway, you did it. Well done to you. Tomorrow, you and I are going to hit it hard with the Play Retro tomorrow afternoon. And guess what we're talking about, everybody? Brian will have to remind me. I forgot.
We're talking about the N64, the Nintendo 64 classic GoldenEye.
Oh, GoldenEye.
007.
Right, and how it almost didn't happen. It came this almost, close to not existing.
Almost didn't make it. Released 2 years after the movie release, just shortly before the sequel.
Yeah.
That's how long it took to get this thing out the door. And it almost didn't happen, but we're so glad it did.
Yeah, it's a hugely influential game. That game changed console shooters in a very positive direction, probably permanently. And also, the team who built it, most of them never made games before. It's a really weird story. Yeah. So
took about 6. They weren't even going to include the multiplayer. This was a time when we were thinking, do we want to do multiplayer? Yes, we do. Took 6 weeks for a guy to port that thing over to the multiplayer. So we're going to be talking about all that.
Imagine that game without that. It would be so stupid without that.
It was one of the few multiplayer games I really enjoyed. Like, I'm usually not a multiplayer guy, but that one I loved.
It was so much fun. And we'll talk about how I split my TV with cardboard, like a lot of you did at home. I did that.
we'll talk about that museum that recently spent $10,000 for a way to not screen cheat for people.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll also talk about me learning something about the controls I never knew.
Yeah.
But I asked Scott, he said, yeah, I knew that. And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. We'll say, we won't spoil it for you, but I only knew it by accident. And I'll tell you that story tomorrow. Yeah. By accident in 97 or whatever it was, 98.
Oh.
Yeah. I figured it out in a very odd way. Anyway, there you go. That'll be tomorrow. Check out Play Retro wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch us live at 3:30 Mountain Time at twitch.tv/frogpants. Hey, Brian Dunaway, you've been great, and we're going to kick you out now. Do you have anything to say before I boot your ass out of here? All right, he's gone. excellent work, everyone involved. We have time for one news story.
One news story.
Here it comes. Being told due to the length of that intro, we have time for just kidding. We're having one news story, and it's brought to you by
Soundography. Brand new episode got posted today. Hem and I listen to the music of Tom Morello, and that's like your Rage Against the Machine, that's your Audio Slave, and then some really cool solo projects that, of all those, are my favorite thing that I've heard him do. So check it out. It's up on soundography.com right now.
Very, very nice. I love Tom Morello. So
I do too.
I'd be into that. Audio Slave. Audio Slave work with Cornell is one of my favorite things ever.
So good. I was not as much a fan of Rage Against the Machine as I was the stuff he did after that.
Same. Yeah. They're like, they're a couple of Rage songs where you hear them and you go, oh yeah, Rage Against the Machine. But most of it left me a little high and dry. You're right though. His collaborations later. He's got an amazing song. I don't know if you guys heard it. Maybe you did. With Crystal Method. That is so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
He has a brand new thing where he produced, one of his kids has a band and produced a song called The Children Will Rise Up or something like that. It's like, it's a bunch of rocker kids and they're awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He continues to rally around his family with a pocket full of shells. here's a story. I'm going to skip down one because this is the one I really wanted to get to today. Calling a man bald. Okay, Brian, this is for you.
Now I'm starting. Now I'm my pricking up my ears. Now. Yeah,
you're perking up now. I'm moving it. Okay, is sexual harassment by calling you that? So if I call you bald, really? I'm sexually harassing you, according to the Employment Tribunal rules. So this is a British thing. We'll get to all that in a second. Zoe, pipe in if you have any British perspective here.
We'll
see what they say. The decision relates to a claim brought to Tony Finn against the West Yorkshire-based British Bung Company.
I'd say that's where the problem is right there.
Yeah, Bung. B-U-N-G.
Bung Company.
Where he worked as an electrician for 24 years before he was fired in May 2021.
Worst children's program ever. Yep. Bung Company.
Bung Company. I can't recommend it for your children. He complained that he was a victim of sexual harassment due to comments made about his lack of hair, including being called a bald C-word.
Oh.
By factory supervisor Jamie King during an argument in 2019. King working at Bung. Let's see. Describing the argument, Mr. Finn told the panel, quote, I was working on a machine that I had to cover a waiting specialist repair. When I spoke to, or no, the covers were then taken off, and it was apparent that Jamie King had done this. When I spoke to him about it, he began to call me a stupid, bald C-word and threatened to deck me. I assume that means punch over there like it does here.
Right? Yeah, I'm sure. All right. I'll be honest. I feel like there are two ways we can go with that C asterisk asterisk asterisk. That knowing the words that that they throw around in Britain, yeah. You know, that is it a part of the male anatomy or a part of the female anatomy?
Well, and over there they use it so freely. It's not they like do, it's here. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not so harsh as it is here. It's like us saying, you know, it's like the bloody thing we say it. We don't even care. Over there they freak out.
Yeah.
So I think
it's not the word that rhymes with clock is what he called them. It's the rhyme. It's the word that rhymes with shunt.
Yeah. Shunt is the word we're looking for, everybody.
Shunt.
Shunt.
Oh, has that come up? That has not come up yet on Wordle. I better write that one down.
Yeah, write shunt. Down shunt. That's a good starter word. Get shunt in there.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I have to tell everybody that I cheated at Framed, but here's how I cheated. I didn't look for the final word. That's not how I did it. I'm always trying to get
for
that
the
one.
Final word. I don't know what that
or not word. Title of the movie. I mean, I was thinking Wordle, but I wasn't. Oh, so okay. So I didn't cheat by looking up what that day's title was, but I saw
how can you look up what the is there a way to look up what that?
Oh yeah,
what
people put it all the time. Oh, people put it everywhere. Oh. Yeah, today's okay. Framed right. Solution. Same with Wordle. Everybody does this.
Oh, sure.
It's dumb. Okay. I mean, I would never. It's dumb to even play if you're going to do that.
It is. Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I give up after three tries. What is it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. For me, though, here's what happened. Dan Trachtenberg, currently directing films and yes. Television.
Former Totally Rad Show host.
Yep. He put in, or he said, somebody said, hey, nice work with Frame today. He says, he made some comment, and I went, oh, I'll bet it's 10 Cloverfield Lane. And it was.
Oh, the
so
one
that's
from,
my cheat.
Gotcha. The one from like a couple days ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't even seen it, that movie. So all I knew is, oh, he said that. It must be his movie. And boom.
That
there,
one
there it was.
That one took me, it took me until I saw The Basement. Today's. It took me three guesses. I could not figure out until I saw. I really want to talk about this image because.
You're talking about today's?
Do Framed when you get a second. It doesn't have to be right now during the show. But photo three.
Yeah.
I want to say who it looks like, even though I know it's not that person.
All right, I'm going to do
but,
it.
Oh!
Okay. I don't know who that is, but...
Does that look like Justine Bateman?
Oh, it does. It really does.
Now, I did figure out, based on who I was like, oh, wait, I recognize that jawline. I know who that is, and therefore I had a good guess on the movie. So I did get it in three. I got it from that photo. But
I think
it is interesting how you put those glasses on that actress, and all of a sudden she looks like... Another actress.
Yeah, he looks like Justine Bateman. All right, Justine I got Bateman. It in five. I'm terrible at that. That was a bad
That's
one.
All right.
Yeah. I had to see one of the main actors to get it. Oops. All right. Anyway. So that's the deal, Brian. If you ever get called a bald C word.
Yeah, I don't think the word bald is the issue. I think it's the C word that...
Maybe. I mean...
Even then, that's not sexual harassment because he's... They use that. It's like, you're a jerk. Oh, jerk. Like jerking off. You're using a sexual harassment term on me. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it seems like a little too loose with the definition stuff. But they gave it to him. They ruled in his favor. So I'm a little surprised.
I think they ruled because it's the Bung Company.
It's the
that company's name is just, you know, rife with sexual assault.
We're all feeling harassed by the Bung Company. I am. I don't like it. All right, we're moving on to a song break. When we come back after that, we'll have our old pal, Major Spoiler Zone, Stephen Schlecker here.
Where'd you pull that name out of?
Yeah, no kidding. the Bung Company himself will be here. Just kidding. You're good company, Stephen. You're not the Bung Company. Anyway, that'll be right after this. Brian will now tell us what that song is, because I have no idea.
What that song? The song I'm going to play, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that song is going to be Datura 4. Yeah, it's a band that Australian rock band called Datura 4, D-A-T-U-R-A 4, all with no spaces or anything like that. These are West Australian boogie masters, and this is their fifth album coming out called Neanderthal Jam. I like that on toast.
Ugh.
It comes out later this month, I believe, by the end of the month. It comes out in August. Oh, we got a while to wait for this one. Well, guess what? You're going to love this song. This song is called Going Back to Hoonsville. It's the opening track from the album, and this thing rocks. Here is Datura 4 and Going Back to Hoonsville.
Everybody likes a good cup of coffee, right? Nobody likes bad coffee. Well, then I'm very happy to tell you that I am not going to talk about bad coffee today, okay? So, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about what you love about coffee, all right? What is the thing you look for the most? What kind of roast? Where do you like the beans? Do you want them ethically produced somewhere? Like, you know, these questions are important. Well, Trade Coffee is here for you. They connect their customers with the freshest, best-tasting coffee they've ever had. And, you know, they do this by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. It's really that simple. These are independent businesses from big cities, small towns, pretty much everywhere. Trade customers are truly impacted by these independent roasters. And I know you will be. They're often the largest source of new growth for them, which is also very cool. Expert-tasted coffee. That's how they do it. Trade's coffee team actually tests, they taste test thousands of coffees to keep 450 perfect coffees all around for you, so you're going to find the right one for you. And they have a, you know, call it a human-powered algorithm, which I don't think we have enough of anymore. I really like that aspect of it. Trade's first match guarantee works like this. They're very confident they're going to match you the first time in the right time. That if they don't, for some reason, they'll take your feedback and actual coffee expert will work with you to send you a brand new bag for free. You can't beat that. It's a little bit off or not quite what you wanted. They'll fix it. So I can tell you, I have a household of some coffee drinkers and they love everything that Trade has sent them. There's not been one where they went, this one's, I can't really, I don't know if I feel good about this one or whatever. They described the taste as amazing. The experience of using the quiz on the site was super ridiculously easy and simple. And it was great. So I really like them. I think Trade's awesome. And how they work is even more awesome. So right now, Trade is offering you, a new subscriber, a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/TMS. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Imagine that in today's world. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/TMS and let Trade find you the coffee that you're going to love the most. That's drinktrade.com/TMS for $30 off.
I have a very strong sense of humor. I've read recently that everyone thinks they've got one, but my friends do agree that I do.
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
It does indeed. Welcome back. Yeah. Brian, that song again.
That song is Going Back to Hoonsville by the Australian rock band Datura 4 from their upcoming album Neanderthal Jam.
Ask your doctor if Datura 4 is right for you.
That's right. All right, so my iPod Nano has fully charged, or not fully, but charged enough to where I could turn it on. Should we see what the first, like, if I hit play?
Oh yeah,
because it'll do its shuffle thing. This will tell you how long it's been since I've used this. Like what song comes up?
Will it play your most common song? Because I'll bet it's that.
I bet I could. Let's
probably
see.
Crowded House or something, if I had to guess.
Probably. I don't know how to do that on this thing. Because it's not like I can do a search by
their most
like
played
I could
playlist?
Do it in iTunes, right?
The playlist for most played or anything?
Let's see if there is. No, the only playlist in here is Genius.
Oh.
So
that might be the one to play because that's it trying to tell you what you want.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good. Yeah. All right. Let's genius it up. So what we get. First song playing is.
It's a Genius bar.
Genius unavailable. Genius plays songs on your iPod that go great together. To use Genius, turn on Genius in iTunes. Well, okay. So much for that. Then let's see. Yeah. And here we go. Shuffle. All right. We'll just do shuffle.
Okay. Go.
Here we go. Song that comes up is. California by Flash in the Pan.
Not take California.
Flash in the Pan. Hey, St. Peter.
There you go. Never would have guessed it. Never would have guessed it either.
Anyway.
All right. Well, that was
funny. All the buttons are like silverized and stuff. It's kind of cool.
That is cool, actually. I liked that device. It was the Nanos
I did too.
Were
this
cool.
is like, yeah, super. I mean, you know, sure, it's super tiny, but this was kind of like the promise of what the future would hold as far as like.
Yeah.
Little SD cards with all your music and stuff. Yeah.
It might be the high. I mean, I know everyone thinks of the touch, but, you know, that was basically the phone without phone features. I just think the height of the iPod was probably that. I think that's the one I like the most. All right. Check this out.
Steven Schleicher. Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. It's our old pal Steven Schleicher. He's in Hayes, Kansas, and he runs MajorSpoilers.com, one of the best pop culture and comics websites on the planet. And he's here with us today to talk about some of that stuff. Steven, welcome back.
Hey, Scott. Hello, Brian. Don't we wear our nanos on our wrists now?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, right.
Was the nano? Oh, that's a mini or a nano then? Wait.
Oh, or was it the shuffle with the screen?
Oh, shuffle with the screen.
Tiny square one was.
That was the shuffle.
Like a play button.
That was the shuffle.
My first Kickstarter that I ever did, I think, was the case that you could put around an iPod, shuffle with the screen, and turn it into a watch.
Yeah, I remember that. That was like a hot minute before an actual watch was about to come out, and it was like, oh, that's the way to do it. And then the watch came out, and I'm like, no, that's definitely not the way to do it. That seems like a bad idea. Now, did it ever really work well for you? Like, did you like that?
No.
No. No.
Yeah, the shuffle just had the little button.
Let's see
what you got. I bought one for my wife. She did, I think, also had a strap for it when we first got it for her because she wanted
there
to
it is right
exercise.
There
yeah, he's got one. So does this have
you
have
the screen?
Yeah, this is the one that you could turn into a watch. So this, I think, was the nano.
That was shuffle. Yeah,
shuffles I don't think had a screen. Shuffle was, it looked like this.
No, the shuffle did, and then it did, right?
Does Brian like have every? I used to keep all my old tech, but you know,
there's this.
That's
one.
The original shuffle.
The original shuffle.
And then,
but then the later shuffle looked like this.
Pretty sure it had. You know,
I'm
what?
Looking up shuffle on Wikipedia. That's the shuffle right there.
I think you're
the nano is the stick thing.
And technically, this isn't even a shuffle. This is a little rubber container that's got an AirPod in it. But because I never got that shuffle,
the nano had the screen.
Was it the nano
the
then?
Screen, yeah. Yeah, the nano had the screen.
Okay.
Man. Oh, I bet I could just look at the back of this. No, I can't.
That got confusing toward the end, didn't it?
It really did. And I'm bummed because this is a 30-pin, and I don't want to keep a 30-pin around just to be able to use my nano.
Gosh,
I found my original iPod Gen 2 a while ago, mm-hmm. and it started up. Then I was like, you know what? I have no desire to keep this, and promptly wiped it and put it into electronic storage because I value my space in my house.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I need to do more of that. I got too much. In fact, you know what? Today is one of those days between now and the end of the day. I have a goal, and my goal is to fill one trash bag worth of stuff I think I want but don't need.
You.
Yeah, and
good
some of
you.
It, if it's stuff I can give
thing,
to
it's called
Goodwill or whatever, I'll do that. But
I do a thing called Five Things, where every day I just look and I find five things that no longer bring me joy, and away they go.
Marie Kondo. Nicely done.
Right? I also did that a few years ago, and then I fell off of it. I should do that again. That's what I should do.
That way you don't have to feel pressured to fill up a whole trash bag. It's just like five things, and I'm done. Tomorrow, five more things.
Yeah.
And then
just let it
by
accumulate.
The end of the month, you've recycled your entire house.
Yeah, you kind of have, right? Like after 30 days, that's a lot. 30 times mm-hmm. 5 is a big number that I can't tell you out of the top of my head. But it's big. I know that.
30 times 5?
Yeah.
150?
There you go. It's 150
Whoa!
Items.
Oh, look at you. Goodwill Hunting.
My gosh.
Spoiler alert there, Brian.
No, it wasn't until you said spoiler alert, Steven.
Good point. Good point. All right, let's move on to some stories here. We got some stuff. There were 103 shows canceled. That's not fun for anyone who had a show canceled they like, I guess.
I mean, think of all the people that are unemployed because of that.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is upfronts are this week in Hollywood. This is where all the networks come to the ad execs and entertainment people and say, hey, you know, here's what we have coming up in the next year. Please buy our stuff. Mm-hmm. But 103 shows across all of the networks and all of the streaming platforms is a big deal. Probably one of the big ones for comic book fans is the CW, which has canceled already Batwoman, Legends of Tomorrow, Naomi is canceled. Superman and Lois is sticking around. But, you know, one of the things that people may be asking is why is the CW canceling so many shows left and right? Dynasty was canceled. Roswell was canceled.
Feels it's like a lot of Warner Brothers stuff that might end up on Max or a redo over there or something, right? Or am I wrong about that?
Maybe. One of the things that was pointed out, I think Variety had pointed it out last week or this week, most of the shows on the CW don't make any money during their broadcast. I mean, the CW is one of those things that was Warner Brothers and Viacom, one of the shared channels. And most of those shows never made money during their first run, but they made tons of money in international distribution and streaming and through the deals on Netflix. Well, the deals on Netflix have gone away. Discovery Networks, Discovery, whatever it's called, bought Warner Brothers, and they have zero desire to do anything else with Netflix right now. And so that's why they're canceling all these shows that for years have not been money makers in their first run, but have made money through Netflix and international distribution. So that's why a lot of those are going away.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's a bummer if you like any of those. I'm not into any of them, so I'm fine.
And plus Discovery wants to now really sell off the CW. They are looking for a buyer. I think they have a Canadian company that is very interested in the CW networks, but it's a very small network.
Yeah.
That wants to buy it.
They'll say, yeah, we want to buy it. And then when they back out, they'll say, sorry, not interested. That's how that'll go.
Sorry.
Yeah. Real quick here, I noticed Magnum P.I. is on this list. I think you mentioned it as well. How was that? Was that any good?
I watched the first episode and I said the shorts weren't short enough and the mustache wasn't bushy enough. So I moved on.
Yeah. Kind of with you on that. I like the old thing a lot. I actually like going back to it. And because, you know, I know this will not shock you at all, Steven. I got a little background going with, I'm alternating right now between the Fall Guy and...
Oh, the original Fall Guy?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
And alternating between that and back to Rockford Files. And the Rockford Files is just freaking great. It's just great.
It is. Yeah. It's always fun and nostalgic to watch that stuff. Like, there was an episode on one of the streaming channels the other day, and it's just like he's out in Nevada looking at some, you know, scam for water and real estate. And it's like, oh, yeah, now that's the suburbs of Las Vegas right now.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, that's crazy.
It's really weird to see.
Or when they go down.
Yeah, plus, it has that great music and I love it.
That's my ringtone.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So if I call you, that's what you would hear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's how ringtones work, I guess. look at the brain on me. All right. Before I leave the page that was linked for this, we haven't talked about it on the show at all, but Christopher Walken is in Dune 2 as the Emperor. I made a joke and I'll make it again because why not? Joke's always better the second time. If he's the Emperor, then the Empress or Queen better be John Turturro or I want my money back. You guys know why? Do you get why? Do you get it? You have to see Severance to get it, but do you get it? It's pretty good.
Yep. Oh, I get it. I get it.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, that's a pretty good pick because he can look really forlorn and weird, and that's what you need for the Emperor needs to look weird, and he looks weird. So
I'm just hoping that in addition to making the spice flow, they also say something about more cowbell.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We need more cowbell. I wonder when
I've got a fever. The only prescription is more spice.
We must control the spice trade. I can't do his voice. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Conan.
Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, Conan the Barbarian. The license is ending at Marvel Comics, and I am 100% cool with this because Marvel Comics never got bloody enough with that damn comic. So
So Conan for years and years and years was over at Dark Horse Comics, and they did some real cool stuff. Rory Thomas was writing those, the legendary Rory Thomas, and they were freaking fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then in like 2017, I think, is when Marvel acquired the license. From what is it called? I forget who the Robert E. Howard Estate or licensing group was.
Oh,
who? And took it away from Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
And they started doing their own Conan series, which was pretty tame. And then they decided to bring Conan into the present and put him on the Avengers for the Savage Avengers series.
Ugh.
And that was like the dumbest dumb that ever dumbed. And when they announced last week that the license was ending over at Marvel Comics, my first reaction was, thank God.
Yeah, get it out of there. Put it back in the hand. It's meant to be kind of, you know, in the vein of heavy metal-ish sort of dark, bloody culture stuff. It's not supposed to be on a Marvel shelf. That's dumb.
Right.
Don't put it there.
Now, but see, the weird thing is, back in the 70s, Conan was a Marvel property. Mm. And you can go back and find, of course, it was the black and white comics back then.
Yeah.
But you can go back and look at some of those, and those are really good. Now, if you are wanting some more accurate adaptations of Conan stories, Ablaze Publishing has been, they have a line called The Sumerian because they can't use Conan on the cover, but it's all Conan the Barbarian stories.
Yeah.
And they've been going in and adapting the books fairly faithfully to what Robert E. Howard did originally in the pulps. And to kind of back that up, each issue includes the comic book that is being adapted and then the actual reprint of the story in the back half of the comic.
Mm.
So over the course of like a 4 or 5 issue run of the Sumerian, you not only get the full comic story, but you also get the full pulp story when they originally appeared back in the 1920s and early 30s.
I still say that as far as movies go, it's perfect casting to have Jason Momoa play the most recent Conan,
mm-hmm.
but man, that movie was bad.
It was not amazing.
No, it's film sack worthy, but outside of that, I don't know. And then Arnold stuff's just campy garbage. So wherever it ends up, I wouldn't mind seeing a better treatment of that. Maybe a TV series of work or something, but this is fine with me. I used to like Conan comics. Oh, who owns Red Sonja? Because she's stayed all bloody and half naked.
So I believe all of Sonja, different spelling. This is why Dynamite is using Red Sonja right now over in comics. But Sonja in the Howard books are again owned by Conan Properties International.
So if you just change the spelling, could Brian Ibbett, for example, start a comic called X-Men that's spelled EKKS Men?
Could he
do that?
Back to back K's is what you're saying.
Yeah. How does that work? How does that work?
So the interesting thing with Red Sonja is they intentionally spelled the name with a J instead of a Y, and because the character evolves so differently from any reference that Howard had put in the comics, I guess it's considered a different thing, but I think they still have to license. They still have to license it. But if you want Red Sonja stuff, Dynamite Entertainment has those comics, and they do a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, those are all right. I'm not. And look, before anyone writes in and goes, Scott, why are you so into naked, bloody things? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the tone and edge of those things was a thing, and then now this recent Marvel run just tried to Marvelize it, or not even Marvelize it, kind of Disneyified it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a bad idea. This is like what I'm worried about when they do anything with what's freaking Wesley Snipes, what's the name of the movie?
Blade,
yeah.
When they do Blade stuff, what's that going to be?
It's going to be on Hulu is where it's going to be, because they can't put that stuff. Well, actually, now that they've got the Netflix stuff and you have to use your 4-digit PIN to get into Disney, they could
right. do Blade. They could put it up there now. Yeah.
I mean, it's if coming. I mean, Blade is coming. So yeah,
they can put Defenders up there. They can put Blade up there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember? I forgot James Earl Jones was in the original Conan movie. Totally forgot that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was the big bad.
Yeah. It was cool in there.
Yeah, that's great.
And then we had Will Chamberlain and Grace Jones in the sequel.
Yeah. That movie was really bad.
Well, I know if Scott loves bloody half-naked people, this week on the Major Spoilers podcast, Scott is coming on so we can talk about Hammer of the Gods.
Yeah.
It's this giant Viking story that if you don't hear Led Zeppelin playing in the background the entire time, then, you know, you're missing out.
Right.
I'm excited. That's Tuesday, by the way, that's I'm on. Tuesday and night, do you guys publish same night? I think you do.
Right? We do late. It's like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock Eastern. That way we can get around some embargoes from certain publishers.
I was going to ask, because I hadn't seen your email yet, and I was going to ask what we're reading, but I'm excited.
I sent it out. I put an exclamation point. Go back in and look at it.
Oh, I missed it.
I highlighted your name because we accidentally left Scott out of last
one. Oh, no, I saw that. I just didn't see what we were reading or what we were.
Oh, Hammer of
Oh, there
the
it is.
Gods.
Volume 1. Volume oh, I'm very excited. Mm. That's my kind of comic these days. I just like, I don't know, stuff that's like either set in fantasy settings, not mainstream, you know, cape and cowl kind of business. I don't know. It's right, mm-hmm. right now that's scratching my comic itch.
This is all Thor and Loki and Norse mythology in the way that Norse mythology is supposed to be, although Loki doesn't have any little colts chasing him around.
But. Okay. And no big curly horns, or does he?
Well, you'll have to read the comic and find out.
Okay. Is he a sexy man like Tom Hiddleston?
I mean, he's the only one that appears to have sex in the entire comic. So.
I always love the Loki and Thor usage in the God of War games.
Mm-hmm.
They're great because Thor's like fat. Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking of I might be thinking of the Assassin's Creed Valhalla game. Anyway, Thor's like this, like out of shape. Well, kind of like Thor in the, I guess, in Endgame.
Right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Endgame. And then Loki's like all kind of crusty and old looking. It's not the same. Marvel's versions of those things have really effed with my head, and it's hard for me to watch other stuff. But I will read this book and do it with delight. Also, you got a comic book recommendation for something called Harrow County. Tell me more.
Yeah. So this is a... how do I explain this? This is country horror. So like 1920s Depression era country horror. So like southern Missouri, northern Arkansas through the Kentuckys kind of stuff.
Okay.
This is from Cullen Bunn and Taylor. Ah, gosh, now I forgot his name. Who's the artist on it? But he's really good. This takes place in Depression era in this county called Harrow County. And you could think Ozarks kind of stuff.
Sure.
And it's about, you know, haints and witchcraft and snake monsters and all sorts of horrible little things chasing after this girl called Emmy and her friends. And we come to find out that she may have a lineage that goes back way, way, way long time ago to ancient early gods and monsters kind of stuff. So
that seems interesting. What are they? There's actually a whole genre called Southern. Gothic.
Oh yeah, gothic. Well, gothic horror is a little bit different.
Yeah, I might be mixing my genres, but I love that. I'm a huge fan. To me, it's like westerns. Why westerns work? Because there's a certain kind of desolation when you go to parts of the country or parts of the world, for that matter. But when we do it here, it's like there are parts of the world where maybe there's less people watching, less cities, less cops on the lookout all the time. Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre works for this reason. Anything's set in a Western out West where there's just, you know, there's no law or order yet, or anything, you know, there's no LA. It's just all, you know, people shooting at each other. It works so well for me. I don't know why. This sounds like it's right up my street.
Yeah. So imagine like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou meets Guillermo del Toro.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
There's a cover with a guy with no skin on. I'm in.
Yeah. He's a main character. So he's also, you get to see his skin. So,
all right. Ooh, I get to see his skin. Nice.
Yeah. They're two different things.
His skin.
I'm pretty excited to see his skin. All right. Well, there you go. The conversations we have with Steven are always memorable. But if you're like, man, I wish there was a place I could find all this stuff and more, then I would recommend majorspoilers.com as well as the Major Spoilers Network of podcasts. If you like D&D, other board games, if you like just comic talk, you like any of that stuff. Boy, howdy. Do we have news for you? In fact, anything happening there this week that people should tune in for?
I think the main thing is it's going to get hot as we move, not this week, but next week into Labor Day weekend. So everybody, please stay hydrated.
Yeah, do that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a wise, wise idea by Steve.
And how?
And how?
Whoops. Oh, I didn't mean to remove friend.
Oh, you unfriended him? Aw.
I meant to remove from the group, not friend. Oh, no. He's not my friend anymore. Shit. All right. I can re-add him later. I promise that wasn't me unfriending you, Steven. I mean, it was, but it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah.
All right. We have a mashup. Jamie put one together.
Yay!
It is called Enjoy the Bean. I know where that came from.
Yeah, I do, too.
So we're going to play it, and you're going to all enjoy it, so have fun.
Here's the delay.
Oh yeah.
I just had an edible. I destroyed her butt.
Yeah. I destroyed her butt, and then that was all I had to say. My balls are hairy. Excuse me. It was like I was doing it on her back the whole time. That sounds bad, too.
That actually might even be worse than I destroyed her butt.
Yeah. The situation was that, funny enough, it was tractors I was looking at.
Then all of a sudden, I'm looking at someone getting plowed. The irony. Tell me a topic, and I'll tell you a sarcastic thing about it.
Areola size.
Oh, jeez, Louise. Really?
I don't know why that popped into my head.
Why is that the first thing?
I don't know.
Are you looking at tractor? Are you on a tractor
website?
I'm
on a tractor website, and something just came up. Now I'm there again. I can't stop myself. This is stupid. I need to poop. It's just really a nice bag. I just wanted to show people how nice the bag is. Brian's always showing off his bag. I thought we'd show off this bag. See what's going on.
You run my OnlyFans page? I didn't realize you had access to that.
Yeah, I'm on the lower tier, so I don't get all the really good stuff.
Yeah, that's why you only get the bag.
Yeah, I only
I'm on the bag tier.
All right, a drone carrying a bag of handguns.
I'll do all the Foley work for
all
this
All right,
one.
This is great. From the United States. Give me a little...
Oh, I want a cheeseburger. I'm hungry. I need some Twinkies.
You went with a diet. That's good.
Yeah. It's a bunch of work, but this made it easy. So, yeah, that's
what... T-balls.
That is... Ooh, what is a T-ball? What is a T-ball? What's a T-ball?
That's the next level on my OnlyFans page.
Oh, T-ball. Mm. Yeah, I snorted that Coke, Claire. That's right. I did snort some Coke.
Oh, you brought some back from Vegas? I left all mine in the room.
Yeah.
I left it all on the mirror, and I forgot to, you know, sweep it back into a little baggie.
Yeah, mine was in a sock, and that was a bad idea because it's porous.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
It comes out in sock. And
don't do that. Jeez.
And then I put it up my bum, and it was there for too long. And then, tell us, how good are you at humping somebody without any clothes off?
Brian, I hate it when you do your Tina voice.
What's your recommendation for, like, a good starter tea for somebody who's only been enjoying the bean?
Enjoying the bean.
Also another.
Yeah. That'll get you on another list. Woo.
Yeah, exactly.
As a lesbian, I can tell you I enjoy the bean on a daily basis.
Oh, man. That was a Jamie didn't warn us. That was a dirty one. Dirty.
Oh, that just right out there. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Well, we appreciate it, Jamie. TMS Mashups on Twitter. Poke him and say hi. And a big thanks for his good work. We're done.
Right.
However... Yeah. Before we go,
yeah,
I would like to remind people that patreon.com/TMS both exists and is a place that helps us survive. Our livelihoods base, a lot of our livelihood is based in almost entirely on this. You guys mean so much to us at the beginning of every month. You have no idea. All right. So all of you out there getting paychecks twice a month or even some of you get like once a week. We got to wait all month for most of the things we do, all our billings, all of our stuff. And having you guys in there makes all the difference in the world. So please join, if you haven't, patreon.com/TMS. There's a rumor floating around from Dave that we might want to enact. I guess Tom does this, so we're thinking about enacting the yearly thing. So people can just say, you know what,
if you do a full year. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, I'm going to do $2 a month anyway. I may as well just do the year all at once and get it over with. We're going to offer that plan for anyone who wants it.
Listen. My foul attitude and lack of hygiene are causing my freelance clients to drop like flies. So now more than ever,
yep.
TMS Patreon, please.
Right.
Please.
Tell Brian needs soap and a Patreon. So get her going. That'll do it for that. Frogpants.com/TMS for all the other things we've got going. Pretty normal week. It's the week after that gets weird. I have a dental appointment on Tuesday after next, so not tomorrow, but the following week, where they're removing a tooth, and I'm going to be gone all morning. And then you're leaving town that weekend. I go. Right. I guess it doesn't affect TMS proper, though, does it, or does it?
It'll affect TMS PM, and this coming TMS Friday, TMS PM Friday, is going to be a play date.
Oh, right. Yeah, because you're going to be gone that next weekend, so...
Right, so we had to move up play date up 1 week, which is fine. Hey, yeah,
it's totally
fine. We'll just figure out what we want to... You know, we'll have to figure out if there's another, like, it'd be great to do Demio if we could, but that only lets two more people play.
So yeah, you get a max of four, but it's so fun.
It really is.
And because I can run it on PC now, it's so much easier to stream. It would be, we'll talk, but maybe there's a fun rotate in and out. Also, you have to own the game, which is, you know, unlike all these other games we play, the audience and the participants can just be in. I don't know. Right. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, yeah.
But that would be fun. All right. Oh, I beat the first campaign with Bo and Crofton, and we beat the first full campaign, and I hadn't done that yet.
Oh, nice. No, I haven't done that either. I've got a game paused that I've gotten three levels in, and I need to get back in there and finish, or two levels in, I think.
It was gnarly. The final boss fight was... I thought we were dead. There's no way we were going to make it, and we did it.
Nice.
That game is hard. But it's fair. Okay, that's it. We're done. We're out. Brian has a song. Play it now. What do you got?
I've got a song. Well, I mentioned Barry. who was celebrating his daughter's graduation. Yesterday was another thing to celebrate, as it was Barry's birthday. He says, hi, Kim and Tina. Thank you for supporting Scott and Brian. Here's to the women in our lives and the one who treats me wonderfully as we celebrate my 56th birthday. Thank you, Bobby Ann and the Go-Go's.
56. There's no way you're 56.
Yeah, he's 56.
He looks younger than us.
I know.
That's effed up.
good jeans, and he moisturizes on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Barry loves the Go-Go's and their music, and would love to hear any cover song, any Go-Go's cover song. Look, I'm gonna do you one better, man. I know, just from knowing you, Barry, that your favorite Go-Go is Jane Wiedlin. Oh. So how about a Jane Wiedlin acoustic cover of a Go-Go's song? She did this for an 80s hit Stripped back in 2006. Here is Our Lips Are Sealed by Jane Wiedlin.
And here's this for just for Barry.
Barry.
And also gets one of these. Good job. You're awesome. We do love the folks a lot. They're awesome. Yes. Okay, that's it. We're out of here. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll be back very soon. That is to say, tomorrow with another episode. We'll see you then.
Can you hear them talking about us tonight? Well, that's no surprise. Can you see them? See right through them. They have no shield, no secrets to reveal. It doesn't matter what they say. In the jealous games people play, our lips are sealed. There's a weapon that we must use in our defense. Silence. When you look at them, look right through them. That's when they'll disappear. That's when we'll be feared. It doesn't matter what they say. In the jealous games people play, our lips are sealed. Pay no mind to what they say. It doesn't matter anyway. Our lips are sealed. Shield, no secrets to reveal. It doesn't matter what they say. In the jealous games people play, our lips are sealed. Pay no mind to what they say. It doesn't matter anyway. Our lips are sealed.
Hush.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I like hot dogs. They're my favorite.